Happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
Yeah, so good to see you guys.
He is risen.
He is risen indeed. It's good to have a cheerleader in the crowd. Thank you, Scott. Yes, it's good. It's great to be here finally. Some of you in the room I know have traveled with us this week as we walked the steps of Jesus in that last week of his life. Started last Sunday with Palm Sunday, and then Monday we broke some china, and that was great. As we connected with Jesus over turning the tables in the temple, and then on Tuesday we spent some time in some of Jesus' parables, specifically the parable of the tenants, and reflected on the realities of that truth and what that means for us, but also about who God is. And then on Wednesday we celebrated a Seder service together, which was super fun, and I had a good time in that. Thursday, the elders were here and available to pray for and to lead some of our families in communion and to wash their feet. Sweet time, intimate time together on Thursday night. It was very amazing. And then Friday, we of course had our Good Friday service, and we came and just walked with Jesus that last 24 hours to the cross and reflected on his amazing sacrifice for us, right? What he was willing to do and give up on our behalf. Amazing. And then last night, we took a moment to just be silent on that silent Saturday, that holy Saturday, the in-between the cross and the resurrection, when the disciples were in despair. And so we sat in that despair a little bit yesterday. And then, of course, today. Yes, Resurrection Day. Praise the Lord, right? It's so good to be here. So thank you for those who have participated throughout the week. But I really want to just thank our staff. Our staff is amazing. As someone earlier noted, they were like, hey, Pastor, where were you all this week? because they just took over and they just led almost every night. I had a couple of things I had to do and that was it. We have an amazing staff. So thank you. Laura, of course, and Becky, who's out. She's still working. She's not done yet either. So Becky's out with our youth and helping them. And then Pastor Jesse as well, who helped with a bunch of stuff. And then we got Sean Brackett, who's in the back, and Aaron, who did a bunch of printing and also singing a lot this week. And so anyway, we have an amazing staff, and it's such a privilege for me as a pastor to have such quality people who love Jesus so desperately and are so skilled and willing to use those skills in order to lead in ministry, but also to serve and care for you guys. And so anyway, thank you, staff. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, church. It's a good day. God is good. Today is the day. It's Resurrection Day. For the last few weeks, I've been preaching on Thy Kingdom Come, this series. And at the very beginning, I said, you know, Jesus' kingdom came the moment he rose from the grave. That Jesus' kingdom is not some future hope. Certainly, we have hope for the future in Jesus, that resurrection that we're going to get. But it's not, you know, that his kingdom is not just some future eschatological reality. It is a reality that is here today in this moment, because he ushered in, he inaugurated his kingdom the day he rose from the grave. And so we are in his kingdom right now. All of those who bowed their knee to Jesus as Lord are now in the kingdom of God. He is reigning. He is Lord. He is King of Kings. And that kingdom is meant to continue to come in our world. It's meant to continue to have its way so that it sweeps across and so the entire globe, so that every individual, every speck of dirt and ground on this globe would be totally surrendered to Jesus. And this is what we, as a part of his kingdom, get to do. The inauguration of his kingdom was a great and holy and awesome and a day that changed the entire complexity of humanity for the rest of time. See, no longer was the kingdom of God isolated to the heavenly realms. The kingdom of God on that day of resurrection came and met us here, came and had a space here on the planet Earth with the disciples and with each of us today as we again surrender our life to him. This is a great and powerful truth. But we have to understand that Jesus' rule is not just because he is God. Jesus' rule and the reason that he came to die for us and resurrect from the dead was because he wanted us to rule with him. We were designed, actually, all to be rulers. It starts in Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, familiar passage, I'm sure, to many of you. And God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and the heavens, birds of the heavens, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." We see from the very beginning, we were created to rule. Humanity was created to rule. It wasn't just God ruling. He was inviting us to rule with him. He had created us in his image in order to bring his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. At the beginning, that's the way it was. That's the way it started. But then, of course, Adam and Eve stumbled, rejected their position as ruler, and things got a little bit dicey. But even in Psalm 8, verses 4 through 8, we see this reality again as David talks about this reality of us being this position in the kingdom. "What is man that you are mindful of him? The son of man that you care for him? Yet you have made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. You have given him dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, and also the beasts of the field, the birds of the heavens, and the fish of the sea, whatever passes along these paths of the sea." So we were again meant to rule, to have dominion. However, we failed, and we failed miserably. We failed miserably because we disconnected from God. Instead of worshiping him, instead of bowing to him, instead of honoring him, instead of following him, instead of ruling like him, we became selfish and thought God had created all of us just for us, just to bless us, just to care for our needs. He certainly cares for our needs, but he's got a reason for us to be here to bless the entire creation. And so Jesus came to earth not just to say, "Hey, I want you guys all to know that I'm the ruler and the king of everything." He came because he was helping us out. He came as a representative of humanity. Hebrews 2:17. "Therefore, he had to be made like his brothers in every respect so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God to make propitiation for the sins of the people." Jesus came and he was born as a human is born. He lived a life as a human lives, and then he died as a human would have died. But then he rose from the dead as only God could do, as only the perfect sacrifice could do. So we see that Jesus came as our human representative. If you will, Romans 5 talks about this reality of the second Adam, that there was this Adam, right, originally in the garden, and then Jesus came as the second Adam in order to represent humanity again and actually to do it right, to follow God the way we were meant to follow God and to rule with God like we were meant to rule with God. We see this reality played out in Hebrews chapter 2, a little bit before this passage, in verses 5 through 9. "For it was not to the angels that God subjected the world to come of which we are speaking. It has been testified somewhere," again, Psalm 8 here is being quoted, "What is man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you care for him? You made him for a little while lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor, putting everything in subjection under his feet." Again, this is all talking about Jesus. "Now, in putting everything in subjection to him, he left nothing outside of his control. As at present, we do not yet see everything in subjection to him, but we see him who for a little while was made lower than the angels, namely Jesus, crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering of death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone." You see, Jesus came and died on our behalf in order to open up the opportunity for us to be reconciled to our God, our Creator, but also to open up the opportunity for us to once again be restored to the position that we were always meant to hold, that of ruler of God's creation. This is what we are hoping for. This was our purpose. In essence, the struggle in humanity that sin draws us to pushes us into and drags us into, like all of the sin is actually a thwarting what we were actually meant to do. And there's no way for us to fulfill the desires of our heart until we take our position that God had created us to take. And so this is the amazing realities of the resurrection of the dead, that Jesus ushers in the kingdom of God. But more than that, he says, come, children, come be a part. Come do your part. Come be the rulers that you are meant to be. We are meant to rule with Jesus. We are meant to reign with him, and he invites us into that so that we can fulfill our purpose, so that we can fulfill all of our desires, so that we can be totally content and enjoy all that God has for us, enjoy this creation the way we were meant to enjoy it as we rule over it as well. And so now today, because of the death and resurrection of Jesus, because Jesus fulfilled the command that humanity was supposed to follow of worshiping God, we now can enter into that role when we surrender to Jesus. When we bow our knee to Jesus, we are not just saved from an eternal death. We're not just, you know, avoiding the punishment that was rightly ours because of our sin. We're not just, you know, getting, you know, these blessings that get poured out on us so that our life might be a little bit more enjoyable than it was before. When we bow our knee to Jesus as Lord, we are elevated to the level of reigning with Jesus. Consider Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 to 6. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We are seated with Jesus in the heavenly places right now. The moment we gave our life to Jesus, we get put next to Jesus to reign and to rule with him. 1 Peter chapter 2, 9 isolates this a little bit as well. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people of his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellency of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Church, we are meant to be a holy priesthood. We're meant to be set aside to be reigning with Jesus on earth as he reigns in heaven. Revelations 5, 9 to 10 is one more passage that points to this reign. And they sang a new song saying, worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people from God, from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have made them a kingdom of priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth. This is not just talking about the eternal kingdom that's to come someday in the future. We are reigning on the earth right now. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. And so what do we have? If you, like me, think about ruling, you kind of go, I don't know if that's really, a good idea to have me ruling right now. Like, I know some of my thoughts are kind of crazy. You know, some of the things I say are not probably real great. It's like, how are we supposed to rule? Lord, I don't feel like I can rule. You know, we recognize this reality, and I think we need to. I talked about this a couple weeks ago, that we need to recognize our total depravity, that we are sinful through and through, and that we're really messed up, right? And so how in the world can we reign with Jesus when we know we are so weak and so our tendency to sin? We can reign because he empowers us. It is as we seek to follow Jesus, as we seek to pay attention and listen to Jesus, as we choose to join Jesus in what he's doing, that we can reign. We are not meant to reign alone. Not in these days. These days we are meant to reign with Jesus. And it is only when we are united with him, when we're able to hear his voice, see his face, know what he's doing, and join him in it, that we are able to reign and reign correctly and rightly and good for all of creation. John 5:24 also tells us this reality that we've been given power over death. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. This is a powerful gift that God has given us, that we, the moment we give our life to Jesus, pass from death to life. Understand, this is a reality right now. Death does not reign in your body. Some of us still think, oh, wait, someday I'm going to die. Matter of fact, I just had a family member who just died or whatever. Death is still, no. For the Christian, death is no longer death of life. Death is death of death. For the Christian, our death is the last scream of death in our life. And then we just continue on. We just continue breathing. We continue living because death is now finished in us and we just get to enjoy life for the rest of eternity, right? And so we have to understand this truth that we don't have to fear death. We don't have to worry about that day when it comes. We don't have to worry about it. I mean, some of us, it's going to be, you know, we don't have to be painful, right? We don't want to have these things or that things, but we don't have to worry about death. And so that gives us boldness to follow Jesus wherever he goes. It gives us boldness to get out of our comfort zones because we know it doesn't, you know, even this a threatening place, even if my life is in danger, it's okay because death doesn't reign in my life anymore. We also see in Matthew 28:19-20, this amazing truth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, and here's the kicker, I am with you always to the end of the age. This reality that we can't reign on our own, but that's okay because Jesus is always with us. He's always going to be there. Like he is always going to be by our side. He's going to help us and assist us in all things throughout history and throughout time so that we can rule the way that we are meant to rule. Romans 8:15-17 also highlights some of the gifts that we have. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. Do you hear this truth that we are joint heirs with Jesus, which means that we have all the things that Jesus had as far as gifts from the Father? We are, again, we're not alone. Jesus is always with us, but we are joint heirs. We have the power, the authority that Jesus has. He allows us to be a part of that with him, right? He gives us that freedom, right? He gives us that adoption as sons and daughters in the kingdom of God. Again, powerful truth that will help us to reign and to rule. And then, of course, 2 Timothy 1:7. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power. And love and self-control. Do you catch that? We have a spirit of power, of love, and self-control. Power to do the things that he calls us into to do. But we also have the power of the spirit of love in order to love people that they are the way we're designed to love them. Right? To love even our enemies. None of us can do that on our own. The only way we're able to love our enemies is because we have the spirit of love who is within us and who is inspiring us to that love. And a spirit of control, self-control. This is why we can let go of sins. This is why we can stop living that life that we didn't want to live before. It's because we received the Holy Spirit, and with the Holy Spirit gives us the power to say no to those sins, to control our lives, be able to live a different way. He gives us that power, and that helps us, again, to be able to reign with Jesus. We are also given this amazing authority. In essence, he's given us this amazing mission to bring his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. As Hebrews chapter 2 talked about, is this reality that we're not seeing the fullness of that kingdom yet. That there's still some spaces in the world where his kingdom isn't fully reigning yet. He's in control. He's King of Kings. He's Lord of Lords. But they haven't recognized it yet. They haven't bowed down to it. They're still suffering under the power of sin. They're still fearful of death. And so we've been given this mission to take our position as rulers and reigners in this world and to go and to expand the kingdom of God. And the way, what we're supposed to do is first, we're supposed to bind and loose. Matthew 16:19. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Do you understand that we have a world around us who needs freedom from sin? They need the bonds of sin to be loosed for them so that they can let go of that old life, to be able to escape death, to be able to escape that fear and to move on to something different. They need us to show up in order to bring this truth so that they can be free from their sin. But we also have a world that needs to be bound to Christ. They need Jesus in their life, and we are given the authority to take what we know, take what our experiences are, take what Jesus has given us, and take that to the dark places of our world, the places that have yet to come to know Jesus. See, they cannot fulfill their purpose that God has given them. They cannot ever be satisfied in this world unless we go and we bind them, we unite them with Christ, and we free them from their sin. Another mission that he sent us on, the thing that we bring to this world, is in John 20:23. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld. Do you understand the need for this dark world to receive forgiveness? Without forgiveness, they have no hope. This is one of the natural cravings that God has put in us. We desire mercy. We recognize our sinfulness maybe, but we always like, but Lord, what am I supposed to do? Lord, give me have mercy on me, right? And they need to know and to hear that they're forgiven. They need to know how to be forgiven. And so we as the believers, as the kings with Jesus, are meant to go and to bring forgiveness to the whole world, to show up, to share the gospel, to tell them how they can be forgiven. And when they confess, when they repent, when they bow their knee to Jesus as Lord, then we get the privilege of saying to them, you are forgiven. We also, like Jesus, are called to bring healing. Matthew 10:7-8. And proclaim as you go, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick. Raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out demons. You received without pay, give without pay. You know, this is mimicking Luke chapter 4 and Isaiah chapter 61, where Jesus says, you know, he's come to free captives, right? And to heal the blind and to set free those who are stuck, right? And to deliver them from demons. We are to do the same thing in this world. Healing and deliverance from the demonic is part of what we have authority to do in this world. Not because we're great, not because we have the power, but because as we follow Jesus, as we listen to him, as we follow his lead, as he gives us those words and utterances in the moment, we're able to bring that healing at any time, at any place, as he wills. This is a reality. This is what Peter experiences. He walks up into the temple, just, you know, not too long after receiving the Holy Spirit, walks up to the temple, he sees this blind beggar, and he just goes up to him and he says, I don't have money for you, but you know what? Jesus wants to heal you. Stand up and walk. We can do that, and we need to understand that. Again, not because we have the power, but because Jesus has the power, and we get the delegated authority to join him as he goes and brings his kingdom to all of the earth. The world needs physical healing. The world needs emotional healing. The world needs spiritual healing. And it's the children of God. It's those who reign with Jesus who are meant to bring that healing to the world. Amen. The world needs the reign of Jesus in their life. They need new life. They need new family. And they need a new creation. And they need us to reveal those things to them, to bring those things to them. One last passage, Romans 8:19-22. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons, and I will add in there, daughters of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. Do we understand that this passage is talking about today? Again, this is not about an eschatological verse that's about the future reigning of the millennial kingdom. Whatever you believe about the millennial kingdom, it doesn't matter. This verse is for today. We are the sons and daughters of God, and the world, all the world, creation even, the physical created beings that we have, are crying out for the sons and daughters of God to finally take their place and to reign and to bring the reign of Jesus to all of the world, all over the globe, to every people group, to every nation, to every blade of grass, to every speck of dirt and throughout this globe. It is God's globe. It's his creation, and he wants us to reign. Church, will you stand up? Will you join him in reigning? Will you stop thinking that, you know, that salvation is just simply about me getting blessed? No, it's about you bringing the kingdom to the world. We are the light of the world, which means that we take that light into dark places. What are those dark places around you? What do you see darkness reigning? It may be in your very own houses. It may be in your neighborhoods. It may be at your jobs. It may be at the store that you shop. It may be anywhere on all of creation. It might be wherever it is. Do you see the darkness? If you see the darkness, then what are you doing about it? The world is crying out. They're groaning. They're hoping that someone will bring them the truth. They're hoping that someone will reveal to them that this is not what all the life is about. They're hoping that someone will bring them freedom from their sins. Someone will bring the ability to recognize his goodness, to recognize that they have a purpose that's so much more than what we have right now. Church, will you go? Will you see? Understand, Resurrection Sunday is a great and glorious day. It's a day when we get to celebrate the resurrection of our Savior that changed everything. We would have no hope. I would not be standing here right now if it wasn't for Jesus and his resurrection. And we can praise the Lord for that, and I'm excited about that. But understand that coming into the kingdom of God is about coming into his kingdom and then becoming part of his kingdom and then expanding his kingdom. That this is what we get to be a part of. And there is no greater joy. If you think there's greater joy and you be snuggling up in your couch and ignoring the world or trying to protect yourself from the world, you are wrong. You are missing it. You're missing out on the greatest moments of your life, the most exciting, and the moments that you will look back to for years and years to come and go, man, that was an amazing moment when I got to pray with that person to come into the kingdom of God. Church, let's join him in reigning. We are children of God. But we are been seated next to him on the throne. And that means that we get to reign with him as he empowers us, as he guides us and leads us, and as we take him up on that and follow in obedience to bring about his kingdom. Amen? All right, worship team, come on up. I will give some more instructions about the main event, the brunch and Easter egg hunt and baptism in a moment, but thank you, church, for being here this morning. Just want to encourage you to allow this kingdom reality to kind of wash over you. Allow the Holy Spirit to continue to speak and work in your heart and allow him to, whatever he's conjured up this morning, may you not ignore it. With all the festivities, maybe you'll get lost in the shuffle today, but somehow come back to it tomorrow so that you can be reminded that he is calling you. He's inviting you to come and to build and strengthen his kingdom. Follow him in that. You have this authority that is yours, not because you're great, but because Jesus is great. And so let's not miss out on those amazing opportunities it has for us. All right, church, let's stand and continue a couple more songs. Heavenly Father, thank you that your kingdom came, introduced into this world a couple of thousand years ago, Lord, and it continues to spread across the globe. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege of being a part of that, to be able to reign with you, Lord, that we would be able to enter your kingdom and then from that position, Lord, be able to follow you into all of the world, to bring your light, to bring your truth, to bring the freedom and the forgiveness that you have, the healing that you have for all in this, all of your creation. And Lord, I think maybe there's some in this room today that are still in the darkness. Maybe there's some in this room today that need your light to shine in their own hearts. And Lord, I pray if that be the case for anyone in this room, Lord, that you continue to draw them into your intimate relationship with you. But Lord, I would encourage anyone in that spot to make sure they have a conversation with somebody before they leave today, to let them know that they're wondering about this, or they have questions, that there be an opportunity for you to come and join Jesus to be able to fulfill your purpose today, to fulfill the desires of your heart today as you come and bow your knee to Jesus as Lord. But Lord, for the rest of us, Lord, help us to reign with you. Help us to not be content with the dark places around us. May we continue to follow you into those dark places for your glory and for our blessing as we get to fulfill our heart's desires. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, church, we've got a lot of stuff going on right now, so let me give you some instructions before you head out the door. First of all, kids are already being transported to the Easter egg hunt areas. So if you are a parent, you'll find your kids in one of three areas. The littles, so preschool, four-year-olds and under, so they are in between the youth room and the cafe and offices buildings down here, kind of the below the second patio there. The middle age group, so first through third grade, you're going to be out in the amphitheater grass. Fourth and fifth grade, you're going to be down in the playground area over here. All right? So that's where you find your kids. Also, if you don't really, you know, you're not concerned about your kids right now, that's fine, because there is food as well. And so as soon as you head out these doors, there's actually going to be two lines of food, one that's outside. So if you go out this door, it'll be easy for you just to go outside and you can get in line for your brunch. If you go out this door, there's another line that's in the church on the kitchen there on the counter, so you can just go out here and get in line and get your brunch food. And then one last thing, there is a baptism that'll be on the upper patio. We'll start that at 11 o'clock, so you'll want to gather around at that time. We can welcome three actually today that we're going to baptize. Super excited about that. God's going to be good. So, all right, so that's the next little bit. Let's continue to celebrate our resurrected Lord. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
You're dismissed.